We thank you, Lord, for the peace in our souls. We thank you for the joy and love in our souls. We thank you, most of all, for the source of it all. It is none other than your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again with all power in his hands. We ask in our time of fellowship with your word that you will forgive us of our sins and that you will grace us with your presence, that this might be not just a social gathering, but a real encounter with the living God. Speak, Lord, thy servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, celebrate God again this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the musicians and the men's choir. I'm kind of baffled how John Danley with that deep voice can sing so high. Amen. 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 I think they, yes. All right. Yeah, amen. This is the second week of Advent. The first week we celebrated hope. This week we will light the candle of peace. Amen. Amen. All right. I do want to just acknowledge Ernest, who had moved down south, is not only back with us, but back in the choir. Let's give God praise for him. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his presence with us indeed. Amen. Please stand as we consider the word on the second week of Advent. And I'll be reading from Malachi, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Amen. The NIV, Malachi, verses 1, I'm sorry, through 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. You may be seated. If Christ comes 1,000 times, just want you to ponder that. I remember at the age of 10, walking down this probably church a little larger than ours. Hey, amen. What is going on here? Have any idea, Moriah? I guess that means no. All right. I remember at the age of 10 or so walking down Zion Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan, the home of Draymond Green and Stevie Wonder and Serena Williams. Y'all didn't know that, right? Amen. But I remember the choir singing, "Fill My Cup Till It Overflows." Does anybody even sing that song anymore? Anybody ever heard that song before? I remember Reverend Austin preaching, and then the choir singing, "Fill my cup till it overflows. Fill it up, Lord." Amen. And something touched me as a child, and I got up and confessed my sins and gave my life to Jesus Christ. What I am attempting to do today is really ask yourself the question that what did it really matter to you that Christ was born? St. Augustine, I believe, said that if Christ had been born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in you, you would still be lost. I'm going to say that again. If Christ had been born, if he's born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in you, you would still be lost. Think about, in theology, there's actually three advents. There are three comings of Christ. There's the first coming, where Malachi preached about after, and then the New Testament, he preached 400 years before Christ came. That's the first coming that Malachi said that God was sending a messenger, which we believe was John the Baptist, to talk about the first advent, the coming of Christ. That time has already come. And then that's the past. Then there's the future coming, the eschatology of end times that we're celebrating in Revelations. We're studying in Revelations the past, the future, when he will come and judge the world. But the one that really matters, come on somebody, is the present coming, right in the middle, when he comes into your heart. Have you had a present coming of Christ in your heart? Because he could be born 1,000 times. The world could sing Christmas carols all day long and you could still be lost. Has he come in you yet? One of my theology teachers talks about we need to have a longer advent. We don't need to put up the Christmas tree on 24th of December. Some of y'all probably put it up Christmas morning. We don't need to just get ready for Christmas 48 hours before and then celebrate how good God is on Christmas. We really need an advent like Lent. We need 40 or more days. We need 2 months or so to think about and cogitate and meditate on what does it really mean that the God-man was born. As Lamont said, he was born for one purpose, to die for you and for I. Malachi says that God will send, in Malachi 3, God will send a messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Malachi, and I need to summarize all of Malachi to really talk about what God has put on my heart. Malachi is a prophet that was speaking and preaching to a post-exile, post-exilic people. They had rebuilt the temple. They had been released from captivity. And Nehemiah had been preaching about the restoration, the moral and spiritual restoration of the people of God. But the scholars believe Nehemiah, after teaching and preaching about the restoration, he was summoned back to Persia to give an update, and the people returned to their evil ways. And God called Malachi to remind them of their covenant with God, their intimate agreement, commitment, and relationship with God had been broken. And God, through Malachi, like a lawyer, issued an interrogatory, a set of questions. And I don't know, when you go through Malachi, I counted at least 20 or so questions where God was asking questions to them and giving them an answer. He He asked a question in chapter verse 2. Have I loved you, says the Lord? But you have asked, how have you loved us? All throughout Malachi, God is asking questions, but you have asked in verse 6, you have asked, how have we shown contempt for your name? There are four ways, at least, where God, through Malachi, told the people they had broken covenant with him, broken the agreement to love him and to honor him. The first way they broke covenant with him was by the priest bringing blemished sacrifices to God in verse 6, dishonoring him. They brought not their best, but their least. How many of you are dishonoring God by not giving him your best? They dishonored him by through divorce in chapter 2, 10 and on. They were honoring women of the foreign land who were worshiping other gods. Idolatry is another way that they dishonored him and broke covenant. They broke covenant him in chapter 2, verse 17, through injustice, not doing what God had expected of them, and then questioning God about his own justice. And then lastly, they broke covenant with him through withholding tithes and offerings. I know y'all gonna get quiet on that. In chapter 3, verse 6, he says, the Lord do not change. The Lord do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decree and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, here's another question, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? God says, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation, because you are robbing me. Verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. This is a book about God reminding us in this Advent season to keep covenant with him, to not bring him our blemished offerings, to not be engaged in adulterous idolatry, to not engage in injustice, and not be afraid to give God a portion of that which he has given unto us. In this Advent season, I'm asking you, has God come into your heart? I'm asking you, where was your moment where you walked down this church or some other church and not celebrated the past coming, not looking just for the forward eschatology, but where has God come into your heart and delivered you? The way Malachi talks about peace, which is the word that we're celebrating today, that when God comes into your heart, there are three things that we see from Malachi as he dealt with his people that should bring you peace. And it's all about his love. The first thing in Malachi that we see that when you give your life to God that you can have peace about is that you become his chosen people. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm chosen. In Malachi 1, verse 2, God distinguishes Esau and Jacob. And that distinction of Esau and Jacob was that Esau was utterly destroyed. But in God's mercy and love, he chose the Israelites. He chose Jacob And even though he had to reprimand him, he did not destroy him. He allowed him to rebuild and to grow. And when you're chosen by God, you can relish and celebrate that you are his child. You are his children. Turn to 1 Peter 1 Peter 2 and 9, talking about where we can find peace in this Advent season. We can find peace in the love of God, being his chosen people. In 1 Peter 2 and 9, we find these words, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." Tell your neighbor and say, "I'm special." "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life." Anybody know about that this morning? I'm not the same. My heart has been changed. I know I'm chosen. Anybody else know they're chosen this morning? "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy," come on somebody, "but now you have received mercy." During this Advent season, God, in sending Jesus Christ and giving us that special blessing of the opportunity to accept him and become his children, we can celebrate this Advent season as we rejoice in being God's chosen people. Once again, turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm chosen." Not only do we celebrate being chosen today, that should bring us peace, we should celebrate God's patience with us. His love not only chose us, his love is forever enduring. His love is ever patient with us. In Malachi 3, as we talk about who should endure, Malachi 3:2, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver." God does not want to destroy us. God wants to refine us. God wants to cleanse us. That's good news, that God's love, no matter how many times we mess up, he doesn't just wipe us out. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God didn't wipe me out the last time I sinned. Yeah, I'm glad that over 55 years, he's allowed me to mess up sometimes and start all over again. Maybe I'm by myself. Maybe y'all quit messing up, but I keep messing up, and God keeps loving me. Yes, I thank you, God. That gives me peace that I'm chosen. It gives me peace that his love is enduring and patient with me, because I still pray today to God, "God, I know I should be better." Maybe y'all have to think a long time about the last time y'all messed up. My memory is not as good as it used to be, but in terms of my ability to sin, it really don't have to be that good. It happens all the time. And yet, God still loves me. Yeah. That gives me peace. Not only do I have peace because I am chosen, I have peace because his love is patient with me. And finally, I have peace because his love is prevailing and triumphant. What am I saying is that no matter what comes my way in this world, somebody say, no matter what. No matter what, God's love will prevail. God's love will triumph over evil. Yeah. The cross is evident that even when evil believes it has destroyed the purpose of God in your life, I am a witness, and God is a witness, that there is a resurrection coming. That there is that good getting up morning when everything that you thought was lost, God can resurrect from the dead. God's love is triumphant over all of your problems. I can go on and on about, as I started last week, about disappointments in life. But I am a witness that if you just stay with God through all of your tears, through all of your disappointments, through all of your quote unquote failures, if you'll just stay with God, God will turn it around. And my testimony, God has turned it around. It's not just a song. He will make a way out of no way. And whatever you think has died in your life, just stay with God. He is in the business, as someone has said, of resurrecting that which is dead. My brothers and sisters, I want us to not rush towards Christmas. I want us not to just get ready for our Christmas meal and put up our tree and buy our presents. I want us to extend mentally and spiritually Advent. This season of preparation should be a season of cogitation and meditation and contemplation and repentance, because God wants us not to rush through, but to settle down and realize that Christ has not only been born in Bethlehem, we need to realize that he has come to be born in you. And if you're here today and you cannot say beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've had that moment where you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you have not had that epiphany, that enlightenment, that without Jesus, you are lost. If you're here today, I don't care if you've been coming to church all your life. If you don't know you're saved, this is your time. Because there is nothing that can give you peace like faith and the life, death, and resurrection and finished work of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can give you peace. I believe, as I was thinking about this message, that Malachi and all messengers are not separated from the message. In other words, when I preach on Sunday, this is just one page of the sermon. You're not hearing me. The real sermon is, I've been married 27 years. That's part of my message, Deacon Williams. The real sermon is when I visit hospitals and nursing homes and call and care for the congregation. This just one page. There's a bishop in Hartford that said something, and I didn't understand it, but I understand it now. He said, Reverend King, preaching don't change nobody. In other words, a message without the embodiment, that's why the incarnation is important, is that it was the embodiment of the message that changed the world. In other words, when Jesus hung from the cross, having been nailed to the cross and whipped and beat and died, that incarnality or incarnation, when he said, Father, forgive them, in that human context, that was the life. His sermon was the life that gave insight to what was preached and taught about throughout all of the Old and New Testament. It is the embodiment of the gospel that changes lives. We live in a world which blows my mind that people can separate. I heard people say this. I can separate Pastor the messenger from the message. I can't. I can't hear love when I see hate. Come on, somebody. What changed me was a daddy who I saw down on his knees at night. What changed me was a daddy who made us go to church, and I was able over time to understand the God he served. We need less preaching and more living. That's what will really change the world. Will you be that for somebody during this Advent season? Will you be the God, the message that they hear? Come on, musicians. If Christ comes 1,000 times and yet not one time in you, I want you to know today you will still be lost. You will still be lost. Please stand to your feet. Oh, gracious and eternal God, during this Advent season, this time of preparation and cogitation and meditation, we meditate on that first Christmas, yes, but that has already come. We consider with all reverence the eschatology, that coming of the final times. But I pray, God, that you will be born in every heart under the sound of my voice in the present. I pray, God, that we don't simply look behind us and in front of us, but we'll look right now into our hearts. And if there is some man, woman, boy, or girl who has yet to receive you, where you have yet to be born in their hearts, and there is still pervasive darkness, that the light of God has yet to shine in. Shine now. Shine now. Hark the herald angels sing, Jesus, the light of the world. Will you shine into the hearts of your people now, God? Do your work. There's joy and peace and love around this season. But we need it not externally. We need internal change. We need to be cleansed with the launderer's soap. We need to be refined like gold and silver. Help us to know and sense our need for you. We ask, Lord God, that you'll rebuke Satan out of this sacred time. And that if there's anyone here who has not accepted you, I pray they'll do so right now. Your love chose us. Your love is patiently enduring with us, and your love is triumphant and will prevail over all. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God.